This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop me. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop me.
Are you a Romney or a Rudy guy?
You know, I think there's something to be said about loyalty. I like Rudy Giuliani. I think he's a great guy and would serve the country well. But again, I think Mr. Trump is looking at different things in different candidates. And I think that Mr. Romney is well respected all over the world. And he ran a great campaign for president, though he said mean things about Mr. Trump. I think it's pretty remarkable and says a lot about Mr. Trump that he's brought Mr. Romney into the fold and even is considering him after the nasty things he said about Mr. Trump for the position of Secretary of State. And not only that, he's bringing in Nikki Haley. I mean, it's quite remarkable that he's looking for talent, not trying to settle old scores.
Sean Duffy is an American politician, prosecutor, former sports commentator, reality TV personality, commenting on Trump and what we were just talking about with Dr. Keith Eichel. And that is Trump's leadership style, open to bring all comers in. Let's talk about people. Regardless of what was said in the heat of battle and in politics, as messy as that can be, and how do you take some of those words out, and what do you do? But this is the nature sometimes, especially with guys. I will say this because some women misunderstand and they go, wait a minute, how do guys argue? Scott, how do guys argue 1 minute? And then a couple minutes down the road, they'll get back together. I mean, they do this even as little kids, it drives parents nuts, the neighborhood kid or bully, or whatever comes along and creates all kinds of havoc. And, they pick on your son. You hate that kid forever, seemingly. I mean, it sounds kind of harsh, but, you don't have really good and warm, fuzzy feelings about the neighborhood bully or whatever. But then, 15 minutes later, they're back, their arms around one another, or they're out playing ball, playing catch and that.
Also, it's your son's best friend.
Yeah, exactly. And you go, wait a minute, hey, you just said some bad things about my kid. I mean, you want to really get me upset with you. You say some bad things about my kid, I get very defensive about it. It's a parent's natural inclination. But, like I say, 15 minutes later, they're out there playing catch and having fun. And, hey, can Johnny come over and have dinner with us? It's like, are you kidding me? But that's what guys do, right?
As you get older, I've seen guys in a bar get in a fight and 15 minutes later, they're having drinks together.
Yeah, they're buying each other drinks. Yeah. I know. Go figure. I know. It's amazing. So, this is the nature of the guy stuff. It's kind of that locker room mentality thing that, Trump made reference to. That.
Well, I think what it is that if you guys tend to look at the end goal, where women can multitask and focus on many, many things at once. Guys have usually we're very oriented on one thing at a time. And so I'm guessing when him and Romney started talking, they might have brought it up for a second, but it was like, well, we have other stuff that we want to do.
Mm-hmm. And they probably realized they had more in common than they did not in common. And here it is. And I think that as Dr. Keith Eichel pointed out, I think Mr. Trump is humbled through this whole process, the responsibility of it. And it's like, okay, let's set all that bravado aside and, hey, look at in the heat of battle and, the contest and all that kind of stuff. You think not. I mean, if you could get into, we talked about basketball, if you can get on the basketball court with some of the smack that's being thrown about, people don't even think about this, Michael Jordan, how much smack he threw out there and Steph Curry, all these guys, LeBron, Kobe. Hey, that comes with a game, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
That's what guys do. It's what we do. It's the way we roll. And we brain damage our wives and significant others to, as Russ says, and go, what is going on here? But I think also, as you talked about, and that is the very nature of, women, they're nurturers. This is a very deep thing. You hurt somebody that they love and care for, whoa, man, you got a price to pay for that. That's not easily forgotten. But guys, hey, we're okay. It's cool. We're having beer. We're going to go have pizza together, and we're going to go talk about saving the world. Why not? 5 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, remember, that's what it's all about, okay? I know people in the news, there's people that are just so interested in their own personal agendas that they're willing to compromise the greater good for all of America. And, you know, Donald Trump said, look, he wants to be the president of all America. It's not the left, not the right, not a Republican, not a Democrat. It's for all of America. Let's take him at his word until he proves differently. See what we can do. And maybe some people are ready to already throw the baby out with the bathwater and say, hey, look, he's not my president. Okay, well, you know, certainly that's your right. But it also could potentially be your loss. And it could be everybody's loss because, as you heard me say before, this is quite the mosaic that we have here of human potential, that if we can't come together, this is what the United States is all about. You know, fundamentally, you know, a group of immigrants, you know, as we say, coming together with an idea that was holistic in approach and that would serve all peoples, would serve everyone. And they created this document called the U.S. Constitution, most amazing, you know, to protect these inalienable rights, these God-given rights, not rights that are endowed to us by a government, by some, you know, beneficent government that for a moment decided, okay, I'm going to be kind to the minions and I'll let them have their way, so to speak. You know, no, God himself. And you know, when it comes to that, I'd much rather have God be in charge, because God knows what we're all about. And that's the opportunity that we have, is that can we allow that godly character, that inherent character that is given and written on the hearts of each one of us, is there room for expression? And all this vitriol gets in the way of that. It blocks it out. My prayer for this country and for all of its citizens and future citizens is that it may be so, that we would honor one another. And whether it's Donald Trump or whoever it is that is our president, that we would get behind him and focus on the greater good, because we've been at each other's throats for so long. And people have said, look, we're on the wrong track. Let's get this on the right track. I digress for only a moment, so forgive me here. Our next guest, Bill Yenny, is with us, author, historian. He's a book producer. And Bill has a very unique writing style. It is most amazing. And we're going to talk about the true story of terror on the West Coast as we go back and remember 74 years ago, the Japanese army sat off the West Coast waiting to attack the U.S., yet few Americans know how close we came to an attack. Bill Yenny, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. Hey, it's Thanksgiving. A lot to be thankful for. You know, Thanksgiving week, and, you know, that's kind of been the theme of this show this week is with gratitude. We're going to be thankful, and, you know, certainly looking back historically, America could be thankful for what you wrote about in your new book, Panic on the Pacific, how America prepared for a West Coast invasion.
Well, that was the case. 75 years ago, we woke up on a Sunday morning to a the news of a really shocking, surprising air attack on Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. It was a devastating attack. It was a devastating shock to people throughout the United States, and out here on the West Coast, it was doubly frightening because people had always assumed that it can't happen here, and there was the assumption that the Japanese couldn't come all the way across the ocean and attack Hawaii. Mm-hmm. Well, if they could do that, they could certainly do it here, and
right.
We had a 1,300 miles of undefended or largely undefended coastline, and people were worried.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this was, as you point out, I believe at the root of the cause of the panic that took place is that, you know, we thought, hey, look, we're protected. You know, we have nothing to worry about. And, of course, you know, nothing different than other empires and other nations before us historically who thought they were protected by certain things. And then, you know, when they find out that the protection is no longer there and, in fact, they're vulnerable, wow, I mean, that's like, you know, that's rather shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, it was very shocking, and it was a situation where there was very little to stand in the way of an invasion. The nobody realized that better than the military leaders who were in charge of protecting us.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the man at the top of that chain of command, General John DeWitt, the commander of the Western Defense Command, went off the rails and started to freak out. He was claiming Japanese airplanes in the sky, and attack could come in at any minute. And if you don't follow my orders for blackouts to protect the cities, I'm going to have the police beat some sense into you with clubs. He literally said that to a meeting of the Defense Council in San Francisco, and that sort of fear, when tempered with the paranoia of the guy in charge, that led to title of the book, Panic on the Pacific.
Well, Bill, when he made this statement, was this before or after the invasion?
Well, there was no invasion of the West Coast. That
right.
was sort of spoiler alert, but it
right.
was
okay.
it was 2 days after Pearl Harbor,
mm-hmm.
and it was December 8th was the night that he claimed there were Japanese airplanes over San Francisco, and there were reports of Japanese planes over places up and down the coast from Seattle to San Diego, and he did nothing to allay the people's fears by actually going into a panic himself.
Mm-hmm. Now, did this contribute to you know, America's response of you know, hey, let's get all the Japanese together and we're going to put them in internment camps. We're going to put them on time out here until we get a handle on this. Did this all contribute to that?
Yeah, it was a real profound lack of leadership out here. It was led by DeWitt. He set the tone, but then all of the politicians out here. When I was working on the book, I poured through newspapers from up and down the coast and reading the words of politicians, and to a man, and they were mostly men, they were all very concerned about this idea of a Japanese fifth column, the fifth column being the the saboteurs and the nefarious agents within the coast, and there was this fear of the Japanese Americans rising up and blowing up bridges and attacking the aircraft factories in Southern California and so on and so on. And the politicians jumped on this idea, and it became the sort of the cause celeb of all of the politicians. And one in particular who I highlighted in the book was California's Attorney General, a man named Earl Warren, who was running for governor.
Let's pick it up from right there, right after this, as we go to break.
A backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
For P150, P150 GA, P150 NY, P150 OK, P150 TN, C250A, C250E, C250Q. Not available in all states. If New York or Colorado, call for a similar offer.
What's the scariest thing about going to the dentist? Opening your mouth or opening your wallet? Because just a simple cleaning can cost $100, and things like root canals can cost you hundreds more. If you don't have dental insurance to help, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company, 1-800-656-4939. This isn't a discount plan or preventive-only coverage. This is real dental insurance that helps pay for checkups right away. So you can call today and get your teeth cleaned tomorrow. Plus, it helps cover the more expensive procedures you might need down the road. Fillings, crowns, bridges, even costly dentures. There's no deductible and no annual maximum. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired. There are no networks, so you can choose any dentist you'd like. Call now for a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-656-4939. That's 1-800-656-4939. 1-800-656-4939.
Today, living in the United States means that your online privacy is at risk. Regaining that privacy means going abroad. Privacy Abroad offers secure online privacy because our servers are located in Switzerland, a safe haven for digital communications. As a law-abiding citizen, you have nothing to hide, but you certainly have something to lose. Regain your Fourth Amendment rights and your peace of mind. Go to patriot.privacyabroad.com now. That's patriot.privacyabroad.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-615-7709. That's 800-615-7709. 800-615-7709.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Hot town, summer in the city. Back of my neck getting dirty, gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on.
on the sidewalk harder than a match, yeah. But tonight it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night.
Hey, we're back with you, America. Bill Martinez here, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at B Martinez Live. Good to have you along with us as our conversation continues with historian Bill Yenny. His brand new book, Panic on the Pacific, How America Prepared for a West Coast Invasion. You know, Bill, I think about, the panic and lack of leadership, it seems, that was on display here. And, I say lack of leadership. There was leadership. Maybe you question whether or not it was good leadership. You wonder where was FDR when some of this stuff was happening on the western part of the United States.
Where FDR was is listening to the tea leaves, and the tea leaves were all the politicians who were falling over themselves to in turn Japanese Americans. And I mentioned Earl Warren earlier, who was running for governor that year and couldn't be more outspoken about interning people. And I mentioned him because of the huge irony of him later completely reinventing himself when he was Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, reinventing himself as a champion of civil rights.
Mm.
And the real tragedy of the whole Japanese internment was that there was never any hard evidence that any of them, any Japanese Americans, were involved in any sabotage. In fact, quite to the contrary, there were literally thousands of them that volunteered for military service. You compare that to today. There were no Japanese Americans walked into a room with automatic weapons and killed a bunch of people. Never an incident of that. Never an incident of blowing up a bridge or any of the stuff that they feared. So that was a real tragedy. Of course, the Imperial Japanese Navy was very active off the coast, sinking ships and attacking the coastline.
Mm-hmm. Was this all a result of, a failure to, you talk about reading the tea leaves, but I mean, there was information out there. What happened that the information did not, I guess you could say a failure to connect the dots here. How did we miss this?
Well, this failure to connect the dots, it's certainly not unique to that time period, but what happened was that the Japanese diplomatic code had been broken, not the Japanese naval code. So the idea that that the Japanese were scheming to attack Hawaii, that was known. None of the details were known because at that time the naval code had not been broken as it was later. And I think people were naive. It was this thing that we've seen so often in history, where you assume that it can't happen, and then it does, and you feel betrayed by your own complacency.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you mentioned, Earl Warren championed the cause for internment camps of Japanese Americans, property taken away. I mean, you look back and you think what a sad commentary and a sad time. And that's understated. I mean, those aren't even the right words. What we did to Japanese Americans just because they're Japanese.
Yeah, it was. It was a real tragedy, and what Roosevelt did with Executive Order 9066 was basically to wash his hands of the matter and defer to the wishes of the so-called leadership on the West Coast. You compare DeWitt's statements to those of Winston Churchill, who rallied his people with great resolve and inspired them to bravery, and leaders out here on the West Coast inspired only panic.
Mm-hmm. How imminent was that threat actually?
Well, the threat of an invasion was there was no invasion planned. It was something that they did not intend to do, but they did undertake a submarine campaign off the West Coast, sinking merchant ships, shelled the coast a couple of times. Certainly kept everybody on edge. There were no Japanese bombers over West Coast cities, although there was one submarine launched bomber that ran a couple of missions against Oregon. The idea was to drop incendiaries to start forest fires. That happened, and then toward the end of the war, there were the balloon bombs. But there was no plan to invade the West Coast, but there was nothing here to stop them. Mm-hmm. Had they done that, the only coastal artillery was at only a few very narrow choke points around the entrances to harbors. And for instance, the Japanese would have been attacked, shelled had they tried to sail through the Golden Gate in San Francisco, but they could have landed 2 miles down the coast without anybody to stop them. There were only two regular Army divisions on the entire West Coast.
Wow.
One Marine division down in San Diego.
Well, and of course, our Pacific Fleet had already been decimated for what happened in Hawaii.
Yep,
at Pearl
yep.
Harbor, and
yep.
so, it begs the question as to what were the Japanese thinking militarily to attack the United States? I mean, did they really think that somehow the United States was going to crumble because, Hawaii was attacked? I mean, here it is, you start this war, you bring America into war. What did you think was going to happen?
Well, I think they were gambling on a measured response, sort of like the response we've seen to the in this war on terror that we've been waging for the last 8 years. They were hoping for a measured response. They were hoping to take the U.S. Navy out of the picture. Long enough for them to succeed in conquering and occupying Southeast Asia, which was something that they did. It worked, and in fact, as history shows us, the Japanese after that were never defeated in Southeast Asia, nor were they at the end of the war had they been defeated in China. So they had occupied all of that territory and were able to keep it. Had we not decided to go directly for Japan to conclude the war by attacking their home islands, they would have remained in control of most of the Far East.
Bill, you mentioned the bombing of Japan. As we know, Nagasaki and Hiroshima. To this day, even for people that were not alive at this time, there's been some transference of guilt, psychological impact as a result of that bombing that tempers our foreign policy and greatly affects, I believe America to this day. What do you say?
Well, it's a complicated matter, but this was a... It was total war. We had asked for an unconditional surrender, and these were measures to enforce it. Japan could have surrendered at any time.
Well, you look back. I mean, and this is unfortunately this is war, right? I mean, as some have said, you may not be interested in war. War is interested in you and everything that goes along with it. I mean, we destroy things. We kill people. This is what war brings to us, and some would say, Bill, we're on the brink of World War III in a veil, and America will be kept safe through it all. This is Bill Martinez live. Bill Yenny, our guest. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it.
This report is brought to you by Jason's Deli. What does tradition mean to you? For 40 years, the tradition at Jason's Deli has always been making quality meals for the communities it loves. As a way of saying thank you to their loyal customers, participating Jason's Deli locations will be celebrating its 40th anniversary with a Customer Appreciation Day on Wednesday, November 30th. With a purchase of any adult entree, diners will also get select signature menu items at their original prices from 1976. Some sandwiches are as low as $1.35. Joe Tatoris Jr., founder of Jason's Deli.
From our gluten-free and meatless items to our historic ban of artificial trans fats, Jason's Deli has consistently been at the forefront of change when it comes to offering menu items that anyone can enjoy. We're proud to be founded on this principle of choice and will continue to honor this tradition for many years to come.
To learn more and check for participating Jason's Deli locations, visit www.jasonsdeli.com.
Attention small business owners. Want to save money on your employee health insurance plan? Learn the little-known solution that could save thousands of dollars on your health insurance benefits and save your employees money, too. Call Health Markets for a free consultation, and one of our 3,000 local agents will show you how to make healthcare reform work for you. We'll design customized solutions for your business that can lower healthcare costs for you and your employees. We'll work directly with you to determine your needs. We search thousands of health plans from over 180 health insurance companies nationwide. You'll also find out if tax credits could save you money. Best of all, the service is free of charge. See why Health Markets has enrolled Americans in more than 2 million insurance policies. You don't have to wait for open enrollment to lower your cost. Call now. Find out how much you and your employees could be saving.
Representatives are standing by to assist you. Call 800-930-5137. That's 800-930-5137. 800-930-5137.
Are you feeling embarrassed or stuck because you can't focus or concentrate? I have a confession to make. I spent years unable to think clearly, like I was in a fog. I was going through the motions, running my companies, and I hated feeling mentally sluggish. I couldn't get ahead like this. It's no secret. The powers that be want us dumbed down. Chemicals? Fluoride? Our brains are under siege, and we are experiencing lower IQs. But now there is a weapon to fight back and win. Introducing DNA Evolve, a revolutionary breakthrough in the category of cognitive enhancers called nootropics. I've been using DNA Evolve and couldn't feel better. For me, it works. It feels great to get things done again and get ahead. Try a free sample for yourself at DNAEvolveSample.com. That's DNAEvolveSample.com. Supplies are limited, so go to DNAEvolveSample.com right now.
La 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 la.
Mary, Mary.
La 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 la.
Thank you.
When I look back over my life.
Thank you.
And all the times you brought me through.
Thank you.
I just want to say, Father, thank you.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Thank you.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us as we continue to pursue the truth no matter where it leads. It's just that doggone important. Well, you know, we got the holidays coming, and what's important for retailers is Black Friday. The reason it's Black Friday is because that's usually when it gets them all out of the red ink. So very important day for them, and they're going to be all out to make sure that you come to their store and you consume what it is that they have to offer. And in-store shopping still reigns supreme for Black Friday, with the majority of consumers poised to get up early, hit brick and mortar stores. Now, that doesn't mean technology is forgotten for this one day, though. Shoppers are now more than ever combining in-store shopping and searches and purchases with their smartphones. Now, a new survey conducted by Kelton Global on behalf of RetailMeNot.com outlines the shopping habits and trends surrounding Black Friday. And we are most fortunate to have with us Sarah Skirbaugh, shopping and trends expert for RetailMeNot.com. Sarah, how are we doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, good to have you here. We're excited. I love this time of year for all that it entails. You know, the feel of the season, the holidays, the music, a time to think in a very special way towards the people that we care about. And we like to shop for them, don't we?
That's absolutely right, and I couldn't agree more. I've admittedly already put my tree up and started decorating around the house. I've even started
well, good for you.
stopping.
Yeah. Well, you know, even at some of the stores, I noticed, I mean, they were so eager to, I guess, maybe get this part of the year going that they were up with their decorations quite early. So for me, it doesn't bother me because I'm the kind of guy that listens to Christmas music in February and March, and my kids are like, Dad, it's not, it's a Christmas, you know, what are you doing? And I'm just a mele kalikimaka kind of guy, you know, I just keep it going.
I love it. Well, yes, you're absolutely right. You were spot on. Retailers have certainly started putting out all of their holiday items, and they are also getting their deals out there way ahead of time. And Black Friday is, like you said, still going to be one of the busiest shopping days of the year.
Right. And the reason being is because they've been conditioning consumers to understand and appreciate that that's a great time to shop because there's great deals here, and the numbers verify that, don't they?
They do. I think one of the best things about retailers offering up their holiday selections earlier in the year is that it gives the consumer the ability to really spread out their spending so that they're not necessarily spending all of their money at the last minute and racking up a ton of bills and potentially debt. It's really allowing them to do their research, price compare, look into exactly what they're needing, for whom they need to buy, and setting a budget.
Well, according to this new survey conducted by Kelton Global on behalf of RetailMeNot.com, brick and mortar is still going to represent a majority of the purchase, but let's not forget online shopping. That's still going to be continuing to increase, right?
That's true. At RetailMeNot, we just released our Black Friday survey, and we know 63% of consumers are planning to make their purchases in-store, but we also know that nearly half of them are planning to use their mobile device while they're shopping. So that means they're going to use a savings destination like the free RetailMeNot app to find deals and discounts at all of their favorite stores. They're going to use their phones to price compare. They're going to use their phones to look into exactly what they need. So, you know, having your phone these days is almost like having a miniature computer in your pocket. It's
exactly.
Kind of a necessity, especially if you want to save money.
Yeah, if you think not, just be without your, I was going to say your computer, be out without your cell phone for any length of time, and it'll freak you out. That happened to me. I dropped my phone, and it went into shock, and I was without it for about a day. And I got to tell you, I didn't realize how dependent on that cell phone I was.
We've all been there.
Well, nearly half you report in the survey, those planning to shop on Black Friday, they want to get up early and start begin shopping. And almost the earlier, the better. I know my daughter-in-law, I mean, I think there's a couple stores that will be open at midnight. I'm going, oh, my goodness. I mean, is it not early enough?
That's true. 46% of those people who are planning to shop will do so before 9 a.m. on Black Friday, which is, you know, 9 a.m. isn't so bad. 5 a.m. is a different story. But really, you know, early bird gets the worm, and
that's
you're
right.
Going to find really strong deals, especially on big ticket items like electronics, computers, tablets, TVs. So if those items are important to you and they're on your wish list, I highly recommend getting out there. The sooner the better.
Yes, Sarah. So drink your coffee early, get ready, or get out of the way, huh?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Or wait and potentially have what you need get to be sold out and not available anymore.
Yeah, that's what happens. We've all gone through that before. You mentioned electronics. Still very popular, right?
Very popular. You know, according to our research, we know that the majority of people are looking for electronics. They're looking for things like video game consoles. They're looking for the new iPhone 7, wireless headphones, Bluetooth headsets, smartwatches like the Apple Watch and Fitbits. Those are all still very, very popular this year.
What about subscription services? What's happening with this? This is on the uptick, right?
It is on the uptick, and in the past we've seen subscription services like the beauty boxes were really, really big, and then became fashion boxes where you can get clothes delivered. Now I'm starting to see a trend in food boxes. There's a new company out there that delivers coffee to your home from another country once a month, which is really fascinating. There are subscription boxes for your dogs and treats, so really getting really, really interesting these days where you're able to try a whole bunch of new different things every month with these boxes.
How much fun is that? I'm telling you. Especially, I mean, I know my son already participates, but he gets a food box for his dog. His dog's so spoiled. And You know, he's such a great dog. He's 9 years old, but he still thinks he's a puppy. And just a sweet thing. So, yes, he gets his regular food box every month. So we've gone through that. How about for guys that they gotta take care of their wives? And this is most important, and this is where we make a big mistake. What's your recommendation for us guys that need help?
Besides therapy. Well, I mean, listen, jewelry's always a great gift, I think. But when it comes to shopping for your significant others, you know, I think that paying attention to hints, you know, 4, 6, even 8 weeks. And again, going back to your phone, it's like a miniature computer. I use my notes app for everything. So when you hear your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your husband, whomever your significant other is, start taking notes and listening to those cues so that when it comes time to the holiday season, or Black Friday in particular, you can reference those notes and you won't forget what they were asking for just a few months ago.
Exactly. Definitely comes in handy. And I guess the same thing comes in play. I mean, women already do this anyway. They're perfect eavesdroppers. I think that they're, the best untrained spies on the planet. They're just wired to pick up this information, you know what I'm saying? Because you can be in a room with a woman, and if you ask her something, she doesn't hear you. Now you're in another room, door is closed, you're not talking that loud, and dog, they can hear you.
I mean, well, I'm not going to disagree with you.
I'm obviously I'm asking for help here, I guess,
right,
you know?
Right. I mean, I think we like to call it selective hearing.
Is that what we call it? Okay, all right.
But yeah, you know, there are lots of really gorgeous, gorgeous, affordable jewelry items out there. Also, you know, I'm really big into giving and receiving scarves these days, you know, whether it's for warmth if you're skiing or you live in a colder climate, or even if it's just for fashion, you know, women are all about scarves these days, so you can get them in all sorts of shapes, colors, textures, and with embellishments or not. So that's a really good gift idea I have when it comes to women.
Well, Sarah, I tell you, I really appreciate you coming on. Great ideas. Survey is excellent here. Really helps us understand what's going on and what we can look forward to here to Black Friday. Sarah Skirball is the resident shopping and trends expert for Retail Me Not, based in-house at the Retail Me Not headquarters in Austin, Texas, with more than a decade of experience working within the retail, fashion, and beauty arenas. We appreciate Sarah coming on. Sarah, is there any place particularly where they can go for more information?
I always recommend people use a savings destination like RetailMeNot.com or having our free app, which allows you to access deals and save money any time of day at your favorite stores and your favorite restaurants.
Hey, it's what it's all about here on Bill Martinez Live. Anytime we can save you money, especially this holiday season, we're all for you. We're on your side. Sarah Skirball, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanksgiving is upon us, a time to relax and enjoy, but preparing a feast for those you're most thankful for can be overwhelming. Boston Market's executive chef and culinary director Rebecca Davis says, let them help.
Boston Market's open on Thanksgiving Day and has everything to cover all your needs, from mashed potatoes to extra stuffing and even extra green beans and apple pies.
Other advice? Make sides your own by adding extra touches.
One of the things that I really like to do is to pick up my mashed potatoes, take them home, add some fresh Gouda cheese, chives, and roasted garlic to them. This gives my mashed potatoes a little bit of an extra flair and gives guests something they'll surely enjoy.
And what to do with those leftovers? Try a turkey and Swiss bread pudding.
It reuses your leftover turkey and dinner rolls. You mix that together with a little bit of caramelized onions, some fresh herbs. Put everything in the oven, and within a half hour, you have a hot, fresh, new meal for you and your family.
Go to bostonmarket.com for tips, recipes, and a location nearest you.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Small business owners nationwide rely on support from their family and friends to help them succeed. According to the Bank of America Small Business Owner Report, 83% of entrepreneurs receive emotional, operational, and/or financial support from their loved ones. For example, 38% have received funding for their business from family or friends. The support goes beyond financial gifts or loans. More than half of small business owners say they lean on family for emotional support that helps them professionally. Sharon Miller, head of small business for Bank of America, discusses the findings.
Family and friends play a critical role in the success of their loved ones' businesses. They are providing the financial, operational, and emotional support small business owners need to achieve their business goals. Entrepreneurs are grateful for the support and are optimistic about their future growth as a result.
For more, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live. Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, whether it's online or any one of the 280-plus affiliates we have around this country of ours or around the world via shortwave, we welcome you, one and all, to Bill Martinez Live. Happy Thanksgiving. Trust it'll be a week of thankfulness and gratefulness, and you have a great time with your family, okay? No food fighting over Donald Trump, all right? I thought I'd throw that in for what the heck. Peter Svodnik is with us right now. He's reported for newspapers and magazines for 15 years from New York, Washington, Moscow, Beijing, Berlin, Buenos Aires, New Delhi, Tel Aviv, Cairo, and elsewhere. The list is on and on, as you can gather right now. His byline has appeared in New York Times Magazine, The Atlantic, New Yorker, Harper's Time. Peter, you're just a busy guy. That's all there is to it, obviously, right?
Sorry.
Hey, good to have you here with us. Talk about in light of, this anniversary, with the 53rd anniversary of the assassination of John Kennedy. I've maintained we have more questions than answers these days. The government just will not release information to kind of put this whole situation to rest once and for all.
Yeah, I mean, there are still many questions out there, although I think that those questions are mostly details. So the fundamentals are well known, and I think that there are no big mysteries about who's responsible for this or what happened exactly on December 22nd, 1963.
Now, your bullseye has been on Lee Harvey Oswald. And of course you can follow that trail, and I can appreciate your perspective. I've said, Peter, I've maintained that in the absence of fact, opinion rules. There is some fact though with Lee Harvey Oswald. I'm not saying there isn't any fact. I mean, there's evidence here. But it's just, as you say, these details that could button things down to where we say, okay, Lee Harvey Oswald was a lone gunman, acted on his own, obviously had some support, but there was nobody on the grassy knoll. There wasn't additional shooters involved with the assassination of one John F. Kennedy.
Right. I think people, I think, like to think that there is a sort of an endless mystery, that they enjoy it. I think there's something inherently alluring about that. But when you look at this, the nuts and bolts of the assassination, what's clear is that Oswald had the means, and he had, he was there at the right time, and his personality, certainly comports with that of a would-be assassin. So there's not that much that's surprising about it. I think that people, in general, like to think that there's a sort of a Wizard of Oz, that there's something going on behind the curtain. I don't see any evidence for that.
Well, I guess that's what irritates me, frankly. Like you, Peter, committed to information, good information. You feel stifled when the government is holding back information that, why are we dragging this on? Let's get this to bed. Because I think that, what it does when things are hidden, and we don't have full disclosure, whether it is Benghazi or any other thing that in the name of national security, it can't be revealed. I believe it affects us psychologically and maybe even deeper than that. If there are, things that are hidden away because somebody's trying to cover their rear end or some level of incompetence that took place, this injures, the fabric of our consciousness and our very soul, I believe, if I can, be so dramatic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree that it's good to have full transparency. I absolutely think that would be great. I also think, though, that in the case of the JFK assassination, there is a ton of information that has been released. There are millions of documents that are readily available to anyone who wants to go and check them mm-hmm. at the National Archives. And even though there are some discrepancies, there are questions. Those things are, a little bit like looking at, the stars at night. If you want to see certain patterns, you can, if you're determined in advance. But if you just sort of sift through everything meticulously, systematically, it becomes really hard to sort of glean any pattern, any plot or conspiracy. I think that, as in any kind of big endeavor involving many agencies, people, there were probably some mistakes that were made, some oversights, of course. But mm-hmm. The fact is that there is no plausible alternative to the conventional wisdom, which is that Oswald acted alone in killing JFK.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, you think about, first of all, you assassinated the president of the United States. I mean, we're not talking somebody that's not protected, heavily guarded. I mean, how do you kill the president of the United States? And I think the next thing that follows up in my mind, unless you had help.
No, I think things have changed a lot, right? Bear in mind that, in 1963, it was easier to do all kinds of things than it would be today. It was easier to procure a gun. It would be easier to escape. It would be much easier to evade any kind of detection from the FBI or other authorities. So, I think that certain security provisions that we probably have in place now were not in place then. For example, driving in an open car in a crowded plaza.
Well, that's a whole nother issue. I mean, you read back that there was assassination attempts on the president. They had been thwarted in Chicago, also in Tampa, Florida, supposedly.
Yep.
And wait a minute, you're going to go in a motorcade. You know that the guy's been in the crosshairs, and you're going to put him in a motorcade and take him through an area that slows down at a ridiculous rate. It's like, wait a minute, is this a setup? I mean, how do you ignore, to me, the obvious that he was under threat? And then you leave him exposed with an open air, a limousine.
I mean, I think through the prism of today, it looks like a very threatening environment going to Dallas in 1963. But at the time, Kennedy was hugely popular. I think even though Dallas was a hotbed of anti-Kennedy sentiment, I don't think he was worried. There had been the presidential assassination in a long time. And also he's known to have strayed from his security detail. He didn't like being surrounded mm-hmm. by Secret Service. So in the end, you know, this is a man who loved being out there, who loved shaking hands, meeting people, talking to them. He liked being among the people. And that he would be in a convertible, Dealey Plaza, it's not that surprising. There are aspects of the assassination that are obviously, you know, confusing, but I don't think that undermines the conventional wisdom that Oswald acted alone.
Well, Peter, what convinced you that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone?
Beyond just the facts of the case is his psychology, and that's what kind of prompted me to go to the former Soviet Union and to investigate his life in Minsk. And I think that's where you really see the sort of cycles of Oswald's, abbreviated life, the sort of these, this very peripatetic lifestyle, moving constantly, seeking constantly a home, a sort of sense of rootedness, belonging. He had gone to the Soviet Union in search of a new place, a new beginning. And that failed. And then he came back to the United States. And while he was back in the United States before the assassination, he moved constantly, toggling between, Texas and Louisiana. He, as is well known, went down to Mexico. There's a constant frenetic energy surrounding Oswald, the desire to escape wherever he was, a sort of an almost flammable quality.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that, you know, he would, look to assassinate a president, which really I think is as much a suicide as it was a homicide. Not that surprising. It jives with his overarching psychological pattern.
Mm-hmm. Well, you refer to him as the interloper, in terms of a psychological profile. But beyond that, I mean, here's as you say, is the concrete evidence of who Lee Harvey Oswald was.
Yeah, I mean, the reason I call him the interloper is that he's a guy who's constantly breaking into new places, and I don't mean that in the sort of malicious sense of the proprietary sense. He's trying to sort of take something that's not his, as much as make a new setting, a new place belong to him or be his, a place that he could fit into. And that was clearly his intent when he went to the Marines, when he enlisted in the Marines, when he defected to the Soviet Union, and when he returned to the United States. Each time was an attempt at finding a new home, and each time was a failure.
Well, Peter, I appreciate you coming on. You can get connected with Peter at Peter Savodnik, of course known also for his short reels, entertaining, evocative mini films that deliver news in a way that feels like a movie. This is one of the things that Peter has become known for. Peter Savodnik, thank you so much for being with us. Happy Thanksgiving to you, sir.
You too, Bill.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Kiss your credit card debt goodbye. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to achieve financial peace, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com.
radio.recordedvideo.com or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Did you know your call?